What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I think we have a musical theme for the day.
And it's all more.
It's all the feels. It's the love.
Are you telling me that you want sappy love songs all day
That's
long?
That's exactly what I want.
Oh, challenge accepted.
I want nothing but sappy love songs all day.
I have a few things I'd like to throw into the mix.
Oh, please do.
I'll let you know.
Love Shack.
Well, of course, love is in the title.
Silly Love Songs by Wings,
ooh,
of course.
That's a great one.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm,
that is a great one. Damn. Anything by Chicago. Anything by Chicago, because all of their songs are about love.
You guys, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you, Michael Mackey.
I love you, Sam. I love you, Scott. I love you, Dan.
Aw.
I love all three of you. You know who else I love? Because guess who just showed up at the front door? What?
Who?
Crumble Cookies.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. And you guys are welcome because I managed to somehow magically finagle those. And then Trevor showed up with a box of...
A plethora.
A cornucopia. And so, you know what? Best Valentine's Day ever because I'm sugared up.
And I have eaten half of that molten lava cookie already, and I could eat about 15 more, and you would have to wheel me out of here.
But you've got a gluten problem. Are you going to be okay?
You don't care.
Sometimes the torture's worth the pain.
Knees weak, arms are heavy, you know. I'll get through it.
Ooh, look, wait, mom's spaghetti.
You guys, also for Valentine's Day, I also got Sam a dirty chai. So he is going to be sugared out of his mind here in about 15 minutes.
Woo!
So this show could go either way in the next hour.
Are you going to be like that one guy in Dumb and Dumber when he sits on the toilet?
I mean, that's pretty much every day.
Jeez, well, please. That just took a turn.
Took a turd?
That just took a turd.
It's not the best way to spend the morning, but it is a solid number two.
Okay. All right.
You know who we need to hear? Who? Marvin Gaye.
Ooh, let's get it on.
Let's
just
get
about
it
any
on.
Of them.
You have your stack of stories is like 300 pages deep. There is, speaking of cornucopias, there's a cornucopia apparently of things to talk about today.
Well, we killed a tree or two. Yeah.
That's a big stack.
That's what she said.
Other day I print off a copy of War and then the next day Peace and, you know, we go back and forth.
Do you know what I'm adding to the conversation? Probably at the top of the 3 o'clock hour because I'm classy like that.
What's that?
The most sexually diseased states in the U.S.
No, do it now.
No. Okay, really? All right. Kids and campers. If the three of you were betting men.
Now this is per capita.
I don't know the rules.
It has to be per capita, yeah. Otherwise, sure. You know, Wyoming would be the least on every
California,
single chart.
California, New York would be number one.
All right. What do you think are the three most diseased states?
Louisiana,
West Virginia,
New Jersey, Florida.
Okay, you guys are pretty good. No, it's not Kansas. You guys are pretty
Eastern
good.
Eastern Kentucky.
Wait, wait. the most sexually diseased state in the U.S.
Wait. No, you're not doing it right.
Okay.
You go backwards.
Oh, go backwards?
Yeah, do like 5 to 1.
Okay.
Yeah, let's not start at 50.
Okay, well, I'm starting with 3 because there's a lot of states here. 3.
North Dakota.
North Carolina.
Mm. Really?
Really. Mm. 2, Dan, Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Laissez la bon temps rouler.
Thank you, New Orleans.
And number 1, Alaska.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Alaska is rife with the STDs.
Why does that make sense? Not much else to do up there.
Why does that? Well,
it's dark like 9 months out of the year.
No, it's
people look
not.
A lot better in the dark.
No, it's not.
Okay, it's dark like 8 months. Okay.
Michael, I used to live in Alaska. It's not careful. Dark 8 months out of the year.
That's on you, Andrew.
Be careful if you take an Alaskan cruise.
I know. Gotta get a regimen of penicillin after that. Okay, so those are the worst. Okay. What do you think the best or the
Utah.
Least?
Yeah, Utah. I was immediately going
to
say that.
Okay, that is a good guess, but
to spread them first, you have to.
Do it.
Okay.
New York. Chew it.
Okay, really?
Okay.
New York.
No. New York is on the other end of the spectrum.
Okay.
No, shockingly, Utah is at number 46. Those Utahians or Utahns? Utahians? I don't know.
No, Utahns.
Utahites.
The Utahites. No, the least Uticians. Sexually diseased state in the U.S. is New Hampshire.
Nailed it.
No.
No, actually, they don't.
They don't? They don't?
Nice. Actually, they don't.
Nice.
Okay, now this literally, this was a shocker. Number 49 of least sexually transmitted states. West Virginia. Who saw that coming? I did not. No, I did not.
Almost heaven.
Is it because the diseases can't be passed from brother to sister, or what's
going on? Wow. Oh, my. We're not talking about Arkansas here.
Okay. I don't.
I'm just kidding. I love you, Arkansas.
So, New Hampshire, then West Virginia, and then, oh, my gosh, what was the other one?
Dang.
It's a rough crowd. I can't find number.
I thought I had a good one, and then Sam just said, step aside and hold my beer. I'm going to drop my mic.
And then Maine. So apparently New Englanders are clean teens.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have said, I would have bet, put money on Utah, Sam.
Yeah, I'm surprised that it's fourth.
Well.
Good for them, I guess.
You know, education is part of the whole thing and access to medical care.
Yes, education. States with high education rates and where they study STDs are...
all I have to say is if you go to Alaska, better be careful.
Okay. Well, reporting numbers also have to weigh in here. I'm sure that there's a lot of people that live in certain areas of like a state like West Virginia that don't go to the doctor a whole lot.
Does this list break down the types of
it tells me
STIs?
It tells me nothing, Dan. It tells me absolutely nothing. But it is fun fodder on this Valentine's Day.
All right. So, Sam, tell us what happened today in the Andrew Lester case.
Yeah, so
he's the guy who shot Ralph Jarl. Ralph Jarl.
He was 16 years old at the time. This is the story where Jarl was on the way to pick up his younger brothers, and he went to the wrong house.
One street over.
Yep, he was at the correct house number, but he was one block away. Lester, he has now pleaded guilty. He shot through the door twice at Jarl, striking him once in the head and once in the arm. He was set to go to trial after a series of delays on Tuesday of next week. And in a surprise hearing, because it was not originally on the books, about 45 minutes ago, he entered a guilty plea for lesser charges. So he has pleaded guilty to second-degree assault. It is a Class D felony. He is now awaiting sentencing on March 7th.
And there's going to be a news conference. Is that correct?
There has been word of a news conference. I have not seen an update on that today.
From the Clay County Prosecutor's Office? Okay. And if it is available, we will carry it live, of course. This is a case that has captured national attention, and we will carry that news conference live. Don't forget, we have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. So it dawned on me today that men, when it comes to Valentine's Day, you are last-minute shoppers.
If it's any indication, when I was driving through the parking lot, the number of men scurrying, and there was scurrying, into Target in our parking lot was rampant.
I totally did not go to Suburban Lawn and Garden this morning to buy the gift for my girlfriend. Why would you suggest that?
Did you really?
Yeah, I was there this morning.
How did it go?
Great. There was no one there. I walked in right after they opened, got the spider plant, got another little plant for her because I couldn't turn them down. And
nice.
Yeah.
So I ended up this morning, you know, Sarah comes over every Friday for Pancake Friday, and she works from my home, and I make pancakes for her, and today was blueberry pancakes. They were delicious. And I wake up this morning, and I realize I don't have enough milk. By the way, I make the greatest pancakes on the planet. I really do.
Okay, I'm going to need to be quality assurance on that because...
Okay, happy to do it.
All right.
Maybe next time. The key, men and women, is whole milk.
Hmm.
One cup of Aunt Jemima or Pearl Milling Company, whatever they call themselves. One cup of that, one egg, and one cup of whole milk.
Okay.
That's the trick. And that's all you need to do. Mix it up. Set the oven or the stove on 3, let it heat up really good, and once you see half of the bubbles on the pancake pop, flip it over.
Question, are you a pancake purist, or do you like to put like chocolate chips or blueberries?
So whatever my customers want.
Oh.
Sarah wanted blueberries this morning.
Blueberries.
I'm a purist.
Okay.
But she likes blueberries, so today she got blueberries. But anyway, but here's my point.
Yes.
Very quickly, if I may. I realized when I woke up this morning, I was out of whole milk. So I ran to the grocery store, and you would not believe, this was at 8:10 this morning, how many men I saw in the card aisle foraging for a card for their wife or girlfriend. I've had mine for a week.
Those men put the pro in procrastinate.
I have a confession.
Sam, you haven't gotten a card yet,
have
you?
Not bought a card yet.
So now, you're going to go through the scraps tonight over at Hy-Vee?
Yeah, I am. The dinner reservation gives me some time between work and dinner.
What time is dinner tonight?
To make a pit stop. Later.
Oh, that's right, because you got the last reservazione, didn't you?
I did, yes.
Where are you going again?
Aquapenny.
Mm,
ooh, good for you. That's a nice one.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great time.
Chosen wisely, sensei.
So, but I did procrastinate on the chocolate-covered strawberries. I want them to be fresh. So I go to Russell Stover today on my way into work.
What were you thinking?
They have 2 cash registers.
Uh-huh.
At the one over here on Shawnee Mission Parkway.
Yes.
It was 20 people deep on each side.
Oh, my.
You had to wait
God.
For a parking spot.
No.
It was 20 people deep each side. I was like, oh, this is what hell looks like.
You heard Trevor say that today is Crumbles' busiest day all year. Mm-hmm. There's people are nuts about Valentine's Day when it comes to sweets and chocolates and cookies and whatever else.
Well, everybody apparently is waiting. The National Retail Federation predicts that we will spend roughly $200 each on candy, cards, flowers, and dinner. That is $12 more than we spent last year. More Americans say they plan to participate in Valentine's Day this year, which, by the way, reminds me. Sam!
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hey, what's
so
going on?
You haven't gotten the card, but you will.
Yeah.
You got a gift.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was typing an email, so I'm catching up here. What's
going
on?
No, I understand. You'll catch on in just a second. You have dinner reservations tonight.
I do.
But yet yesterday you referred to Valentine's Day as a stupid corporate created holiday.
I stand by that.
Yet you participate.
Well, I like brownie points.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I acknowledge the fact that it does hold a certain weight. That acknowledgement goes hand in hand with the fact that we are told that it's supposed to hold a certain weight. Similar to the idea that you need to buy a ring that is 3 months' salary with a giant rock.
I believe it's 2 months' salary, but yes.
Whatever. You know, I think that it's all about profit and less about love at that point.
He's a curmudgeon at 27.
Wait, from the text line, Waffle House is still available, still accepting reservations for tonight, so you heard it here first.
Now, that doesn't mean that I haven't spent a ridiculous amount of money already, and I'm going to spend a ridiculous amount more this evening. That's just the facts. Because I like brownie points.
He's a curmudgeon of love.
Hashtag love curmudgeon.
Now, I did for many years while I was a single Pringle. I called Valentine's Day Singles Awareness Day without knowing that the day after Valentine's Day is actually Singles Awareness
Day. Is that true?
That is true.
Hang on, I've got the days right here in front of me.
Wait.
That is true. Tomorrow is National Singles Awareness Day. That's right.
I may be a curmudgeon of love, but I'll buy in when necessary to get the job done.
I feel for all my serving brethren and sistren who, because it is truly amateur night for most wait staff, so please, if you hear my voice right now, tip more than 20% tonight, kids and campers. Your servers deserve it. They are going to be out of their gourds.
Valentine's Day is named after Saint Valentine, who secretly officiated marriages so that young men would not be forced to go off to war. February 14th has been associated with love and romance since the Middle Ages. But it wasn't until the 18th century that people started giving each other flowers and cards. Americans will send roughly 145 million Valentine's Day cards this year. At least half will misspell the word desire.
What you spell it with a Z? Like
I have no idea.
Desire.
Can't really mess up the ire part of that.
I mean, you could.
I'm just reading from the script.
D-I-S-I-R-E. Okay. Desire.
Oh, my gosh. From the text line. This is hilarious. I'm a server. First off, I stop at the dispenser. It's a dispenser. I can't even say it.
Dispensary?
First off, I stop at the dispensary. Second stop is work. Bless your heart, 0575. Bless.
Well.
Oh, February 15th is also National Half-Priced Candy Day.
I wrote a beautiful card.
Yes.
It has a keychain on it.
Aw.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Came with the card. It's a wooden keychain, and it has an X. You've seen the X with KCMO and stuff
in it? Yeah, of course.
Well, this one has LOVE.
Nice.
And then we're going out to a lovely late lunch tomorrow.
Love it.
Got her a wonderful gift last night. And I'm not a big flowers guy, but I went to the grocery store this morning, and I bought one red rose, and it's in a very slender vase.
Aww.
Ooh, a vase.
On the kitchen island. Mm-hmm.
That's so sweet. I am the ultimate procrastinator. Even when it comes to Christmas, I mean, I don't start shopping until the 21st. It's bad.
Are you kidding?
I'm not. Why? Last year, I bought three items on Black Friday, and that triggered something in my head that told me, you're good. And then on the 24th, I went to like 8 different stores because
you're good.
I was not good.
And then you went, you're doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well.
Well, let's go from love to death. From CBS News, at first whiff, it sounds repulsive. Sniff the essence of an ancient corpse. But researchers who indulged their curiosity in the name of science found that well-preserved Egyptian mummies actually smell pretty good.
Because of the frankincense and myrrh?
It says here from Cecilia Bembabree, who is with the University of College in London. In films and books, terrible things happen to those who smell mummified bodies. We were surprised at the pleasantness of their smell. They described it as woody, spicy, even sweet. Those were the leading descriptions from what sounded more like a wine tasting than a mummy sniffing exercise. Floral notes were also detected, which could be from pine and juniper resins used in the embalming. Apparently mummies smell good.
Well, let's hope that I never get that opportunity because that sounds gross.
Okay. We're going to play Family Feud. What time do we want to do that, boys and girls?
4:30?
45?
Let's go 4:45.
All right.
4:45.
That gives me more time to mentally prepare.
Leading up to...
You sound so excited.
For another loss.
I am so good at Family Feud. You guys, you have no idea. I am ready to win.
You're 1-20.
I, I'm 1 in 33.
Okay.
Two in 33.
Oh, two. You're
has
right.
Has he won twice?
He has won twice. He's won three times if you count the illegitimate win because we played to seven. You got seven first.
Right.
But we kept going and he ended up winning. That would mark three wins if we count that one.
We don't.
You know what they say, and 1 out of 11 ain't bad.
That's yes, my brain say. Is full of endless useless
I don't think I've ever
knowledge.
Heard that phrase.
Oh, well, I just made it up. So.
Heard 1 out of 3 ain't bad.
Well,
2 out of 3 ain't bad?
2 out of 3 ain't bad?
One would think that I would be better at Family Feud than I am, but it is a stumper. I cannot think on demand.
913-586-7798. Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news here on Dana and Parks. That's some baby-making music right there.
Bam, chicka, wow, wow.
On repeat wow, in Alaska,
wow,
apparently.
Wow, wow, wow.
Turn it up. Don't be afraid of it, Sam.
Okay, okay.
Woo!
Let's get it on. You know, for whatever reason, and I don't know why, the day that Marvin Gaye was shot and killed by his father is one of those where were you when for me. I can tell you exactly where I was.
Was that 83?
I believe it was 82 or 83. I don't remember the year. I think it was 82. I was in the lunchroom getting ready to sit down with my friends at the table for lunch at Fairway Middle School in Killeen, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends said, Marvin Gaye just died. I go, really?
How did he know? How did he find out that nugget of information?
That I have no idea.
Encyclopedia Britannica?
It wasn't the internet.
He got an alert on his phone.
That no. Didn't work that way, kids.
From the text line, Sam, two pieces on ring advice. Don't know how we got down this road. Cheap ring with the promise of upgrade in 5 years. Get whatever ring she wants. Thank you. Here's a ring pop.
Was it April of 1984?
Was it?
Was it that long?
Well, let's find out.
If only there were a handheld device where we could look up such things.
April 1st, 1984, a day before his birthday. He was born April 2nd,
1939. I still would have been in. I would have been in seventh grade at Fairway Middle School.
Did how long did his dad get for that shooting? Did his
probably his life?
His dad, I'm guessing, went to prison.
Honestly, I did not know this about Marvin Gaye.
You didn't know he was murdered
shot,
by his father?
Murdered by
I
his
did
father.
Not.
Yes.
This is all news to me.
It's all anybody could talk about in the mid-'80s.
The youngins don't know.
That and the first anorexia nervosa death of Karen Carpenter. Remember when Karen Carpenter?
I do. I don't remember where I was, but I remember when she died.
Voluntary manslaughter, 6-year sentence.
That's it?
It was suspended.
What?
He did not go to jail.
Oh, my God. By the way, have you heard about what happened in the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl parade today?
Oh, God, what? Oh my no, God. What happened?
It was a year ago today that the Chiefs had their parade, and there was a shooting down at Union Station. Same thing happened today in Philadelphia, sadly. Two people were shot in Philadelphia's Spring Garden neighborhood today as crowds gathered throughout the city to celebrate the Super Bowl 59 victory parade. Police say the shooting happened at 23rd and Spring Garden Street on Friday. It is unclear what led up to the shooting or what the status of the victims are at this time. Philadelphia is brimming with crowds right now of fans who have come far and wide to celebrate their win over the Kansas City Chiefs.
The city of brotherly love.
What is wrong with us? And by us, I just mean as people.
Society as a whole? I have no idea.
I mean, at some point, does the NFL say no more parades? No more rallies when your team wins the Super Bowl? And I don't mean to exaggerate this, but this is 2 years in a row that there's been a shooting at a Super Bowl parade. Two years in a row.
It's obvious that when sports bring hundreds of thousands of people into one space, for whatever reason, we cannot act as civilized human beings.
I think the vast majority can, but the problem is you bring in an element who brings guns to a celebration,
mm-hmm.
and you have a problem.
A ne'er-do-well, a miscreant. Riffraff.
Ne'er-do-wells.
Ne'er-do-wells, plural.
Well, God bless those who were shot. I hope they're okay. I did not know this. There is a new Karate Kid movie coming out.
Karate.
Did you ever get into Cobra Kai?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
So there's a new movie coming out called Karate Kid Legend. And it stars, of course, Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan.
Oh.
Yeah. They team up to train this young karate kid.
Mm-hmm.
But in this story from the USA Today, I did not know this, that Ralph Macchio and what's his first name? William Zabka. When they finished the first Karate Kid in 1984, they hated each other. Hated each other. Not only in the movie, but in real life.
Oh.
Now they are best friends.
Hmm.
They are best friends.
William Zabka, I met him a few years ago, interviewed him
at Comic-Con.
Yep. And he could not have been nicer or more gracious. And there was a massive line to see him because...
Well, that was at the height of, Cobra Kai.
Right.
Yeah. So, Karate Kid Legends, coming to a movie theater near you soon.
They are turning it quickly into the Fast and Furious franchise.
You think so?
Well, I mean, we revived the TV show, and now we're doing a movie about it. Yeah, they're milking that cow for all it's worth.
Ralph Macchio is 63 years old, I would just like to point out.
He looks 40.
He looks 40. I don't know what sort of hyperbaric chamber he is sleeping in. But I want them. Want it now.
Story here from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Gasoline prices are expected to spike as much as 40 cents per gallon in the coming weeks, with the potential for a higher increase in the longer term due to a combination of factors. Issues with oil refineries in California, an annual switch from winter mix to summer mix. We'll see gas prices, they note, they're trying to localize it here, in Southern Nevada skyrocket. According to Patrick DeHaan, who is with GasBuddy. The Las Vegas Valley relies on California for the majority of its gasoline, so anytime there are issues with refineries or pipelines in the Golden State, Southern Nevada feels the trickle-down effect. So in Las Vegas, they are expecting gas prices to jump 40 cents per gallon in the next few weeks.
Mm-mm-mm.
Not abnormal for the West Coast at all.
Has anybody heard from Dana today in Vegas?
No, but yes, we did, actually.
She sent a group text from not her phone.
Correct. So she went out there just to see the Eagles. This was supposed to be a Friday to Sunday vacation. I think the Eagles are playing. I think she has tickets for tomorrow night. Then she moved the vacation up a little earlier because they got tickets to Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil. Now we understand the Australian Bee Gees are playing tonight. And they're going to see that show, too.
Okay. Good for her.
She also took an expedition about 30 minutes out of Vegas to play one of the most revered golf courses in the country.
This is not going to be a cheap trip.
But she's doing well. She's having a good time.
But happy Valentine's Day to her.
She was texting us about how mad she was that it was raining. She said it hasn't rained in Las Vegas in 217 days. And now it's raining.
That was that storm that came in from California, yes?
Yes.
Yes. I don't know why I know that nugget of information, but just call me meteorologist Michael Mackey.
Because weather moves from west to east?
I mean, yeah.
Typically.
Okay. After an outstanding 2024 campaign, the Kansas City Royals shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. earned the number 3 spot on MLB Network's Top 100. Wow. The number 3 player in America is Bobby Witt Jr. Shohei Ohtani is number 1. Yankees' Aaron Judge is number 2.
Wow, that is an honor to be listed behind those two greats.
Yeah, it is.
And Bobby's fantastic. I mean, you know, he's currently one of the highest paid players in the MLB for a reason.
Good for him. All right, don't forget, Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. All right, we do have an update, ladies and gentlemen. we were telling you about the asteroid 2024 YR4, which has now not a 2% chance of hitting the Earth.
2.3.
2.3. It's gone up.
Now, 2 months ago, that was just over 1%. So they've gone from just about 1% to 2.3% in a couple of months. They are saying that is a, pardon the reference, meteoric rise in possibility of hitting the Earth.
You guys, the situation is getting dire.
If it does hit the Earth, it'll hit the Earth in 2032, and they now know where it might hit.
Where? Now, keep in mind, they said this rock is big enough to be a city killer.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to hit a city?
We don't know, and here's why. Well, we don't know. Here's what I do know. North America is not at risk. Neither is Europe.
Okay.
So if it were to hit the Earth, it could be in any line that stretches basically along the equator. Unless it's in Asia, it would be slightly north of the equator. Here's what they say. Northern South America, across the Pacific Ocean, to Southern Asia, the Arabian Sea, and Africa. But if it were to hit in Asia, it would be north of the equator, so countries like India, Pakistan, Bangladesh would be at risk. If it were to hit in Africa, Ethiopia, Sudan, Nigeria would be at risk. South America, Venezuela, Colombia, and Ecuador would be at risk.
Well, let's just hope that it lands in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Agreed, because you just named some highly populated areas in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, India for sure, yes.
For sure, for sure.
And there is also the fear. We don't know how massive this rock will be because they tend to burn up when they go through the good old thing up there called the atmosphere.
Currently, it is the size of a football field.
Ooh, that's pretty big. And so if it were to maintain that size, there is fear of a tsunami. But again, keep in mind, we're talking about a 2.3% chance of a rock hitting us in 7 years. And we've had many, many near misses.
But you know, it is amazing to me, Sam, and I'm looking at a picture of outer space. And Michael, I'm going to show you this.
The vast stretches.
It's just a bunch of white dots, right?
Yes.
Probably stars.
Yes.
For the most part. What do you see in the bottom left corner?
Another white dot.
What does it have around it?
A circle.
A green circle.
To convey that that's the asteroid?
That is the asteroid.
Oh.
How is it that they can see that? I'm assuming it's because it's moving and it changes its position.
Hmm.
Whereas the other ones all stay in the same spot, roughly, when you take the picture.
Well, we've got this theory in our heads, thanks to early science classes, that, first of all, we revolve around the sun on a fixed plane.
Which we do
not. That is obviously not true.
Correct.
We've got this theory that when you look at our solar system, it's just the planets and then that one belt where there might be some asteroids, right?
That's the Kuiper belt.
The asteroid belt. That's kind of the image that we're taught in schooling. Well, if you never go on to be an astrophysicist, you don't realize that there's rocks flying around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing.
Look at Mars. Look at the moon.
I'm guessing that meteorite insurance is probably pretty low right now. I think I might get it, you know, for 2032.
2032.
I mean, it's just going to keep going up, people. So if you're going to get your meteorite insurance, I would do it now before rates skyrocket.
Michael, if it hit your house, you'd probably be dead, so you wouldn't need it.
Well, I mean, safety first. You know, I don't like paying more for insurance than I need to.
Now, would that be an act of God and void the terms of the insurance?
Well, act of God is included in your insurance.
Oh.
So if there's
homeowner's insurance.
Yeah, so if there's a tornado or a hurricane, usually those are included in your insurances as acts of God. So they would take care of it.
Let's hope for the Pacific Ocean. Well, actually, let's hope for a near miss. It's not going to hit. Who are we kidding? But there's a chance.
I don't know what I'm going to be doing 7 hours from now. I can't plan for 2032, people. But I will be getting insurance just in case, because safety first.
It is pretty crazy when you think about it that 2032 is only 7 years from now.
I wonder if Geico has meteorite insurance.
I don't think they do, Michael.
We cover a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
You've never seen this?
Well, that's true.
Hmm.
Now, we have seen human-sized chunks of ice that probably came from the lavatory falling off of planes and landing in people's homes in Florida.
Is that true that when you flush a toilet on an airplane, it just releases?
I've always thought that that was an old wives' tale, but I've heard it so many times. Everybody can't be wrong,
I mean,
right?
Wouldn't they store it in some sort of vat?
I mean, that seems like a lot of fecal matter flying through the atmosphere.
I genuinely have no idea and cannot speak with any certainty about
Dan
where
Dan just
that
put
goes.
On his
Here
earphones.
We go.
Dan knows.
Here we go.
Dan knows everything.
Captain
about
Encyclopedia, what's up?
Well, I think that there's basically a bucket.
There has to be.
And then if it gets too full, then it's released.
Buckets perhaps. Fill up.
Release the hounds.
I would think that they would evacuate the bucket on the ground.
Dan, you are correct. I just looked it up. I never thought I would Google this in my entire life. What happens to your urine when you pee on a plane? When you pee on a plane, your urine is collected in a holding tank located within the aircraft and is emptied by the ground crew once the plane lands at the airport. It is sucked into a storage tank via a vacuum system in the toilet and is disposed of properly when the plane is on the ground.
I think there would be a problem if every time you flushed, a little door opened up on the bottom of the plane.
But wouldn't that be funny?
It would be.
But it would freeze.
Immediately,
because it's like negative 30 degrees up there.
But now chunks of this stuff do fall from planes every now and then and crash through people's roofs.
Typically, though, that is icing that builds up on the wing, and then they have de-icing systems that knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody been hit by ice falling off the giant towers outside our building? I know, you know, like the ice is a problem at KCPT because of that giant tower.
There was one time several years ago when I was at Channel 9, our tower over on the east side of the city, there were missiles falling from the tower.
No
kidding.
2-3-4 foot
long ice missiles.
That'll kill you.
Punching into the buildings below.
When it finally warmed up after Snowmageddon, we had that same issue out in front of our building. I was walking in on the day that it finally hit 40 degrees and I didn't get hit by one, but you could definitely hear over and over again the sound of chunks of ice hitting the ground.
Kapow!
Yeah, because it builds up on the top of the guy wires.
Yeah.
And then when it warms up, it slips and just shoop. And then
wham. If that's big enough, it'll kill you.
What was that?
Oh, yeah.
Wham! Whoa!
That's a lot.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous.
That's dangerous, Dan.
Very.
News with Dan Weinbaum, Captain Encyclopedia, coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.